Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is June the 13th, 2019, and today we're going to be talking about the fun factor as a mental performance tool. A lot of times we just think, oh yeah, people should have fun while they're doing their sport or while they're doing their this applies to business too. If you're speaking or if you're doing your work of any sort, performing in any way, musicians as well. But we don't think of it as really training for having that fun and really incorporating that into our coaching as sports psychology coaches to help other people to have that fun. So, oh yeah, I think did someone else just join us?
Yeah, Misty Dixon.
Is this who? Sorry, Misty?
Yes, Misty.
Hi, Misty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Good to have you join us. Yeah, thanks for joining us. And you're calling in from, let's see, which state is it you're in again? Remind me.
I'm in Missouri. Yeah, Kansas City, but in Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, great. Yeah, so yeah, you're getting the modules okay and able to get into the website, right? Sounds like it. You are.
Yes, ma'am. I do like it. We got a little behind this week. We had some legal paperwork we had to get in, and that took priority. But hopefully this weekend we'll get caught back up.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, great. Well, that's great. Yeah. So, glad you could join us. We've got other people on the call that are I'm traveling en route right now in a car or somewhere that they're muting themselves. So there's other people in the background too. So, that's great. So I was just introducing our topic here. And then you're welcome to ask questions along the way about our topic or anything that you need. So, today we're going to be talking about the fun factor as a mental performance tool and how to build enjoyment into sports and as well as any kind of performance. In the course here, we talk about sports and also business and musicians and anyone who is performing, because these same factors, you might find yourself starting out in sports but also coaching people that are in business, say giving business presentations or musicians that want to have to do an audition, all kinds of things that people have to do to be able to perform their best when it counts the most in a pressure situation. So today I wanted to address kind of that fun factor and enjoyment, why fun is so beneficial to athletes and to business and other performers. Oh, yeah, did someone else just join us?
Yeah, hi, Dr. John and everyone. This is Evan.
Oh, hi, Evan. How are you?
I'm very good. So I'm driving,
okay.
So I might be, I might be on mute most of the time.
Okay, are you traveling too? Or
I'm driving, yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And if you have, thank you for your questions, and I'll talk about those. Yeah, you had a great question about the, I answered your first question about different topics, and then a second question about age and all we can talk about today. Yeah, okay, that sounds good. So I was just introducing our category, our topic here about fun, the fun factor. We want to talk about why fun is so beneficial to athletes and business and how you can mentally train your clients to have fun at competitions or performance, or how to create also the environment to have fun. And then talk about what I call the adultification of youth sports and youth activities. By adultification, I mean, oftentimes we put in the principles that adults want rather than what kids need, and a lot of the pressure and to go to college and get a college scholarship and, making sports more into a job rather than fun, and putting too much pressure on kids. And so how that fun factor can get removed by parents, by coaches, by administrators, by college recruiters, all of that, and then how we can help kids get through that, and training fun as a mental tool. And then, you know, thinking of as fun as kind of a muscle, which we need to train, so exercising, you know, that enjoyment factor, that fun factor muscle, and so we can create enjoyment in every practice and workout. And, you know, if you're, I use the term, I sort of made this up, what if your client is fun challenged or has difficulty, gets too serious all the time, and how to deal with that. And kids have so much imagination, especially at younger ages, so it's really important to capture that imagination and use, help them use their imagination to create more fun and enjoyment in what they're doing so that they can continue with their sport and really enjoy it even more. So I wanted to talk about those topics here and just get to first talking about some of the benefits of the fun factor and some of the things that, you know, these are obvious to you maybe. Some may be obvious, maybe some are new. But, you know, we all know that fun generates really positive emotions. You know, it just creates more excitement, you know, more joy, more happiness, and it makes kids want to keep coming back. Because a lot of kids these days, it's about 70, statistics show 70% of kids stop sports by age 13. They start maybe when they're 3 or 4, but they stop doing sports by the age of 13, and so we want to keep kids in sports at whatever level they can be in. So fun generates those positive emotions, and it can create, it prevents the overthinking that we see so much of, you know, because when you're having fun, you don't have a need to think so much about, you know, the consequences and distractions and all. And so you want to be able to, you know, just have them be able to just feel what they're doing, having fun. Fun also, of course, counters the negative emotions that can creep in, like the worry and the fear, frustration, the oh no factor that, oh God, we're behind and we're not doing as well as we need to in this game, all of that, or am I good enough, or all of that comparing, the comparing mind that goes on, that I'm not as good as the next guy next to me. So if you're having fun, you just are out there doing it. You know, I think of an example of the, well, up until now, the Warriors in Oakland here, you know, in the playoffs right now for the championship in basketball, NBA, and of course, they're having a lot of problems with injuries right now. But overall, they've won, you know, the last four games, four championships. And they just, especially Steph Curry, just seems to always be smiling and having fun and then just enjoying the whole process. And they have such a team synergy there going on that can really help with, you know, when everyone's having fun and encouraging each other, then it helps with the whole process of you know, just making it more enjoyable for athletes. So another thing that fun does, another benefit, is to keep you in the present, keep you focused in the present. And so just, you know, enjoying that moment right now rather than thinking about the mistake I just made or what's going to happen in the future. We can be thinking about what's happening right now. And when you're in the present and you're totally absorbed in what you're doing, and it just makes it more enjoyable. A couple other benefits I wanted to mention are that fun it prevents distractions, such as thinking about the results and comparing yourself to others. So when you're having fun, you know, you're not thinking so much about what are the ramifications of this, or, you know, how many points are we from winning or losing. But you're just thinking about, what do I have to do next? What's the next play? What's the next? Just like I think of it in running, you think just this mile, or just this tennis, just this serve, basketball, just this shot, whatever the sport is, thinking about just what I need to be doing right now. And then a second or another benefit is that fun helps you provide perspective, reminding you why you compete, because you know, the whole point of this is to have fun. And we forget that sometimes when it gets so serious. So you want to help people to have fun. And Evan, I know you asked that question earlier about age-appropriate, age-specific sports psychology coaching. And I think, as you say, the more kids, the younger the kids are, the more they're oriented toward having fun and able to really enjoy it. And we want to make sure that we keep that fun factor in the game and allow them to just to play and make it a play. And not so, sometimes you want to go between a structured situation and just being able to play, having them be able to just play impromptu without so much structure. So you can think, if you think of fun as a mental tool, you can approach fun in the same way that you use, that we use other mental tools. So some of the things, you know, just I'll go into some more detail about these, but wanted to give some tips right away that can help is, you know, just watching, you know, hanging out with other teammates who are having, who are fun to be with before competition. That can help with having fun and being able to stay away from teammates that are too negative or too serious or too putting you down. So, you know, choosing the people that to be around that are really fun and enjoyable, that's really good to do. You know, watching, you know, say the night before a really important competition, you might have athletes watch something that's funny, a comedy show or a TV show, playing games with friends so that they kind of take their mind off of the competition and be able to just relax a little bit. Another thing that can help with fun is listening to music that is uplifting. So if everybody has earbuds these days or iPods or on their phone, you can listen to music so easily. So having them listen to music right before they're playing a game, that can help. Or, you know, listening to their favorite song. I used to always drive, as I was driving to races, I still do that. I have a certain song that I play right beforehand, and it gets me in the mood of doing well and racing well. So you can have them do that, have them pick out certain songs, or also your MP3s, your visualizations that you are making for them that we're learning to do in this course, you can have them be able to use those and play the visualizations that you've created for them that makes them really focus. And you could create a visualization just on fun, you know, just being able to have fun. So another thing you could do is ask your athletes, what is it that makes this sport fun for you? It's good to create a little survey or a questionnaire, and a lot of athletes, it might be different for each athlete. It might be for swimmers, it might be just, you know, the feeling of the water and you know, moving your arms through the water and feeling that sense of flow and freedom and just how good that feels to be able to move really quickly and efficiently. Other people, it might be, you know, just that freedom from just being able to get out of class or get out of some other work that they're and go out there and play. And just some people just enjoy the movement factor, just getting out and moving in any way. Dancers, professional dancers really enjoy the being able to dance to music and moving and creating something. So if you're in a sport that is creative, you know, there's that whole factor of being able to use your mind and your right brain to create something beautiful. Doing it with your body or with a group, you know, moving around a stage, performing. So If you're a musician, musicians love to be able to create new sounds. I know I'm a musician myself, actually. I play guitar and flute and sing, and I love to jam with other people and just do improvisation and come up with and harmonize. And so the fact that you're working in time with other people is something about the brain that it makes that really enjoyable, that you're able to move around easily and that I can create some new sounds with other people that through guitar and through voice. So just being able to create something new in a really fast sport like basketball, you're being able to think fast on your feet and respond to what other people are doing. A lot of athletes think that is fun because they're using their brain in a way that is challenging for them. They've got another team that is really tough to deal with. So, and being able to respond to everything that they're throwing at them. So those are some things that you want to do with athletes to help create the fun factor. And, this is really important, just to help them goof around, encourage them to keep things light, beforehand, and then, until it's time to, say, put on the game face, and even during a game, it can be fun as well. So that it's important to have that goofing around time to be able to just enjoy without having to be structured all the time. So those are some benefits I wanted to give you, and then also some of the ways that you can create more fun. And then and you can think of situations while we're talking of maybe athletes that you'd like to have more create that have had difficulty with fun or enjoyment, and how you could create a better situation for them. And then feel free to jump in a few minutes. I'll ask you for examples that you have. I have an example I wanted to share of an ice skater that came in last year. She's 11 years old, and her mother came in with her for a first session, and she said, it was an example of how lots of children simply don't have the fun factor in playing sports anymore, and we want to be able to reverse that high pressure that we've put into youth athletics. So with this ice skater that came in, she was 11 years old and wanted to, and it was very good, but her mother, it was obviously the parent that wanted the performance more than the child. And she said, oh yeah, my child, she has 7 private coaches. I thought, 7 private coaches already, and she's only 11 years old. And she has a jump coach, and she has a strength coach, and a choreographer, and all these things. Of course, ice skating is something that really does require a lot of support, but it was just over the top in terms of too many coaches. And then she was wanting to hire me as the sports psychology coach. I think that was the factor that she needed most, was just that mental support. And the mother said, "Oh, she's on an Olympic track. She will be in the Olympics." And she's only 11. Maybe too early to be thinking about that. And then the mother showed me a picture. She pulled out a picture of, and she says, "Here's the 3 little girls. Here's my daughter on the podium, on the Olympic podium, getting her medal." And she says, "Oh, well, that's not really my daughter. I had her face photoshopped in to this picture." I thought, I almost laughed. I thought, "Oh my gosh, this is way too much pressure that the parent is putting on the child." And then she was flying her daughter back to the Olympic coach to be to have not a group you know, a group session might be a good thing, but this is for private lessons with the coach from the Olympics. So, I mean, really a lot of pressure. And when, in fact, and that can work well if the ice skater is, you know, as motivated and high achieving as the parent. Sometimes that can work, but oftentimes it puts so much pressure on the child that they rebel or just don't want to work as hard as the parent. So parents end up oftentimes. So you know, what I did with the parent was work with the mother and the parents in terms of backing off a bit and just allowing the child to support her, but allow her to also just have fun and not have so much pressure to perform. Because the child was feeling tremendous pressure. Then I met with the child alone without the mother there. I usually meet with the parents first together with the child if they want to for the first 20 minutes or so just to get a sense of their communication style. And then after that, when I met with just the child alone, I found out that the child is really feeling tremendous pressure from the parents. So we worked on being able to, you know, the child being able to just have fun with it and back off a bit and be able to say to the parent if she needs to, hey, this is too much pressure right now, and be able to say, give her parents feedback too. So oftentimes we see this with parents sending kids off to camps and gurus driving them across the state for tournaments and there's you know, parents that are over, you know, get too excited at games and screaming at referees and that kind of thing, and that all creates, you know, takes away from the fun factor, of course. And we hear about middle schoolers, you know, little young kids even being recruited by college programs, creating these huge expectations when they're maybe 10, 9, 10, 11 years old. So it's creating maybe too much pressure too soon. And so, you know, we wonder why kids don't enjoy the sports as they used to. It can really create a burnout too early on. And as I said, by the time kids that are about 13 years old, 70% of them have dropped out of sports, according to one study at Michigan State. And then the Women's Sports Foundation, that was founded by Billie Jean King. I actually got to meet her several years ago when I gave a talk at her conference back east. And amazing organization. And they've done a lot of studies in this area. And they found that the most common reason that girls and women, and boys, both boys and girls, the most common answer why they quit their sport is, they say, because I was not having enough fun. And so it is a serious problem. And, you know, sports can be associated with higher levels of, you know, your improved physical and emotional health, and it can help with academic achievement and quality of life. So, and satisfaction with themselves and their family. You know, there's so many things that we do want kids to be able to participate in. You know, sports is a great environment to learn about mental toughness and learn leadership, fairness, being able to develop that sense of self-discipline and, you know, lifelong love of movement and openness to being coachable, so being able to handle losses, just like we talked about last time in our call. So there's so many things that are really key. So the important question is, you know, what's broken, and how can we fix that? And I think a key, you know, a lot of kids have fun before age 13 or so. And then a key turning point seems to be when kids enter their teens, and then that's when a lot of the pressure happens. And so we need to have a better understanding of those things that are happening that take the play out of sports to be able to remedy the problem. So when we look at the issues that are going on, the first one is those coaches, and then there's, I think, overly involved parents. So, there's a statistic showing that only about 2% of high school athletes do actually receive college scholarships. So it's a pretty small percentage, but, about 40 or 50% of parents believe that their child have a chance to play at the college level. So you got this 40 or 50% of parents pushing their kids to get this college scholarship, and only a tiny percent are going to, 2% are going to receive those scholarships. So that's where we get this problem of, the high pressure and the adult expectations in sports. And so we want to be able to educate the parents on and coaches on making sports a really good, positive, rewarding experience for kids. And so, because a lot of kids don't have the same expectation as adults, they just want to have fun. And I think that that's something that we need to talk to both kids and parents about. Sometimes parents and coaches, they misperceive their child's natural talent, or they think their child is going to be so much better than all the other kids. And there's a, people think that if you work hard, you can achieve anything. And it's true that we want to work hard, but the outcome isn't so certain. And so a lot of times we want to be able to, have a realistic view that sometimes it's good just to be able to play sports for their own sake and educate parents and kids that there's so many good things that sports can bring about. Like I was saying, the ability to, to compete and to cooperate and to interact with other kids. So many things that they can learn, leadership skills, and without, even separate from being able to get this college scholarship. So there's parents is one issue, and then the coaches. If you were, as a sports psychology coach, we might be working with the athletes and also coaches. There's coaches that about 22% of the boys stopped playing sports, the studies show, because they didn't like or get along with the coach. And for girls, it's almost the same. It's about 20% don't like the coach, or the coach has favorites, that kind of thing. And so you want to train coaches to be able to have that sense of fairness and to be able to really value each person on the team, not just the stars. And so coaches, I think, they sometimes take youth sports too seriously with that win-at-all-costs attitude. And so and what we're getting now, instead of just coaches that have a teaching degree, used to be that coaches were the ones that were teachers and they understood child development, and now we're getting more coaches, say, that are athletes that used to be, say, they were a star soccer athlete, and now they've decided to go into coaching. So they understand a lot about the game and a lot about the technical aspects of a sport, but they don't understand what's going on with kids and childhood, the mental development. So if we can teach them more about that and more about the need for kids to be able to interact, to laugh, and to have fun, that's really key. And also, if you're working with a child individually, teaching them those same things to be able to kick back and just enjoy their sport. So kids, teaching them that one thing that you want to have work with coaches on is to be able to give the child autonomy and a sense of enjoyment and confidence. So make sure those things exist. So being able to make sure that the child has some freedom to be able to do their own thing and to enjoy and to, you know, doing an exercise like we've talked about sometimes in the past where, let's say all the kids sit around in a circle and then each one person's in the spotlight and each person goes around and says what they value about that one person, what kind of they value them as a, what they bring to the team as an athlete, their personality, their leadership style. So you go, and then each person says something good about that person. So you get kind of exercise that positive feedback muscle and then go around to the next person, be able to do that with each person there. That's a good exercise to do. And also for coaches to do that, to realize, okay, what's the value of each person on the team, and for the coach to tell them that. So we need to kind of give the coaches those skills and be able to have them focus on mastery of a sport, and rather than just the scoreboard. Then when they do that, when they focus on mastery and their skills and having fun, then they're going to do better on the scoreboard. So it's parents is one factor, and then coaches is a second factor. And a third factor is, I think, too much specialization. When there's, you know, maybe a couple of sports like gymnastics and figure skating, they really have to specialize in those sports because there's so much to learn. And with gymnastics, they may have to learn, you know, 10 different, 8 or 10 different events or techniques to do, like the parallel bars and the balance beam and all of that. And figure skating, there's so much to learn there. But other than those sports, there's actually, it's better for kids to try to get involved in multiple sports. And then they're less likely to suffer from injuries, less likely to burn out, and more able to develop that all-around athleticism. So I think that's really one factor that can really help with more enjoyment is it's okay for kids to have different sports. And with the different seasons of the year, maybe they do track and field in the springtime, and maybe in the summer they do tennis or swimming, some other sport. And then maybe they switch to another sport, and that's really good for kids to be able to do that. So if you can talk to parents about those different options, and sometimes kids are not having fun in one sport, it may be that they're not good at that sport, or they don't enjoy the kinds of people that are around. Or, you know, if it's, say, football, kids don't like being hit. And we're finding out so much about traumatic brain injury. It's really can be unhealthy. And sometimes kids just are not that aggressive, and they'd rather have a sport that's not as aggressive, you know, like soccer or basketball, that actually is much better for cardiovascular workout. And so I think it's good to encourage kids to try different sports, by different activities, and not be so specialized so early. So that's a key thing to increase fun and avoid burnout. And then it's good to just have kids that are, you know, just be able to, the most important thing is that they have a good time, and if they don't, they're going to drop out from that. So, you know, asking kids for feedback. So let's talk a little bit about what can be done, and then, you know, I want to ask you for your input, your experiences or questions about this. What can be done is you want to give the message to, you know, parents that, to say to them something like, if you treat your kids basketball the way you treat your kids math, you'd be okay, because parents don't show up in the kid's classroom and say, hey, start screaming at them and saying, hey, you got to get this problem right. they back off. And so it's the same thing with parents in sports. They get so overly involved that they need to just treat it the same way they do kids in the math class. They just to be able to just offer help when needed, but to not take over their lives or not not be yelling at them about how they screwed up and mistakes, and to be able to really offer positive support. So, I think, to helping as kids get older, when they have success, it's important to try to help parents to kind of separate themselves from that, and parents to refrain from getting, too overly involved, so that the child can develop on their own and just see, be able to say things like, wow, I love watching you play, or I just love, I love how you did this in the game, to be able to just give that kind of feedback, to be able to kind of dial back and just let the child develop. And then for the child themselves, it's good to, I think, help them to, of course, it's tough to separate from their parents, but to be able to just say, give themselves feedback and say, hey, I did a good job here, even if they're not getting the positive feedback from the parents or coaches. I think one of the best things we can do if we're working with parents or coaches and children is to focus on the life lessons that they are learning. Tell parents to just, what life lesson did they learn today? Or, ask the child, what did you learn today about life through your sport? What a great question to be able to ask your kids. And then just let the coaches do the coaching on the specific technical stuff. So let the coaches coach and be able to tell the parent, one simple thing, just validate your child's courage for going out there and competing. They'll say, yeah, you were really courageous today, or you really did, I'm glad that you got out there and you did your best. Just being able to give that kind of support. So some things that parents can do and coaches can do and athletes can do are things like positive environment, be able to have conditions. Sorry, there's a background that'll go away in a second here. To be able to have a positive environment that you're, always getting good feedback for what you're doing, and then be able to, let your kids see the results of their hard work, be able to, kind of experience that confidence when they learn a skill, be able to say, yeah, you did that right, that was great, be able to give that feedback and see those results there. And be able to, another thing they can do is foster that confidence to create a success experiences. Like if you have a child doing something way harder than they've just done, they're probably not going to be able to do it. But if you create, really small steps, then they can have a success experience. So they can just move forward in small bits and be able to, sometimes they fall back, they make a mistake, but then be able to get up from that and move forward. And that's what can create that sense of fun, I think. And then really caring, that caring is so underrated. Parents and coaches need to be able to give that unconditional love that, I support you, I love you no matter what. No matter what happens out there. I know that I remember last night, a couple nights ago, Steph Curry on the Warriors team was interviewed, and they had a really rough night where Kevin Durant got injured, and and they, you know, they were really, they won the game just barely, and they're just barely hanging on, trying to win the Warriors championship with NBA in basketball. And Steph Curry was interviewed, and he said that what happens, you know, the support between our team and the interactions that we have as a group and the closeness we have as a team, that's far more important than what happens out there on the basketball field. And I thought that was so insightful to say that. He said that we're really close, and we want to work on supporting each other, and we, you know, and they just all felt really bad for this one player that got hurt, and that was more important to them than winning the championship. So creating that sense of unconditional love between teammates as well as between coaches and parents is so important. So you want to be able to have that support there no matter what. And if someone makes a mistake or messes up, to be able to encourage athletes to say to each other, hey, get the next one. You know, we'll get this. Yeah, no problem. Let's keep going here. And to, you know, to not be blaming each other, but to keep that sense of we're all in this together. We're going to do this. Keep the momentum up. So and that what happens, like Steph Curry said, what happens between the team and what happens inside your brain, the learning process and the character development, that is so much more important than, say, what the score is. So how you treat each other is key, and how you treat yourself. So those are another thing to be able to have parents and coaches do is have some perspective on things. You know, just be able to see the big picture and see that what's important here is the effort level and their attitude, and not so much what the specifics are of what happened. So kind of see that picture, have the perspective on what's going on. And like I talked about last time in our calls, you know, like say if someone loses, if the game is not going as well, you want to be able to help them to have that perspective, to be able to see what are the lessons here from learning. How can we keep moving forward? What's good about this situation? How can we use this to our advantage? So, and all of this becomes even more important if the parent is one of the coaches who ends up coaching their own children. So that's actually, this is an important statistic, about 75 to 80% of coaches are actually parents. They're parents, and they are coaches of their own children. So they have a dual role there, and of parents and coaches. And so that is key for being able to, you know, they have this role. So if they're positive and creating confidence and perspective and support as a parent and as a coach, then the kid's going to get all of that as a package deal. But if they are negative and not, you know, and rejecting and only talking about the mistakes, then both as a parent and as a coach, the child's going to get doubly frustrated. So it's good to realize that a lot of times parents are also coaches. I think the number one change that any coach can make or any parent is to focus on the positive and to be compassionate, and that's going to really make lasting changes, behavioral changes, instead of focusing on their weaknesses. So the way to do that is to combine fun with learning, getting to our, you know, main focus here of fun, being able to have fun and learning. So you want to have deliberate practice and also play. So, you know, think of that as deliberate practice and deliberate play. So a balance between those two. So for example, like with one session, a coach could mix up the rigid drills and then also have exercises where the kids can just kind of freelance and have and do their own thing and have fun, be able to mix that up. So sometimes they have an exercise where they're learning a specific thing, and then sometimes they're able to just play and do and have it not be so structured. So mix it up between those two things, and that way it gives kids a chance to kind of express themselves. If they're playing ball outside, you know, they could do a soccer practice, and then they could have time to just play and not have the rules or not be keeping score, but just be able to run around and figure out, you know, maybe have them come up with their own exercise or come up with a different way of being able to kick the ball or work with the ball. So have them come up with different things because kids are really creative. So those are some things that you can do. And then strategies, some other strategies you can have are to be able to have kind of think of it like a ratio of more positive than reinforcement than criticism. So if you're going to criticize someone for something, or if they did something wrong, then make sure you couch that with, a positive reinforcement of some sort, something they did right, you know, a couple of those, and then you can say the negative feedback or the criticism of some sort that they need to change. And then it kind of like the sandwich technique, put around it some positive reinforcements on the front end and on the back end so that you really let the child know that you care about them, that they have the ability, they can keep moving forward, they can do this. And that way they'll be able to take in the feedback more easily. Sometimes it's good to have a sort of a team system where they're filling up their emotional tank with each other, so you're kind of pumping each other up. You see that a lot in, say, volleyball. When we have a good shot, when a team does a good shot, they all come together and they do a hand, a high five to each person on the team, saying good job, and everybody's together on that, and they all reinforce each other. So having that kind of system where we're constantly thinking of ways, how can you fill up your emotional tank, kind of like your gas tank, being able to pump each other up, whether you're winning or whether you're losing, it's important to keep that emotional tank full. So think of ways to do that. Some other things is that when they, you can suggest if there is a mistake, when the kids make a mistake, be able to help them move past that by adopting some kind of a practice that they do that's a quick action to help them move beyond that. Like you see tennis players, after they lose a point, they'll walk backwards and walk back toward the wall, and they'll look at their strings. They'll play with the strings on their tennis rackets because they're, it takes the focus off that mistake and just to be able to get back on track. Be able to, you think of it as, some people like do make a flushing motion, like they're flushing that mistake down the toilet. So you're getting rid of it that way. I've worked with a pitcher who made a bad pitch, and then he'd go back and take a rock and throw the rock behind him, back behind the pitcher's mound, and say to himself, that's behind me. So he's doing this physical action of throwing a rock and also saying, that's behind me, next pitch. So some kind of ritual or practice to be able to let that go, and just say that's behind me now, and just be able to move forward in that moment. So that they feel like the most important play is always the next play, not the one that just happened before that. So be able to keep, so those are some techniques to be able to keep moving. And smiling, you know, smiling, it's hard to not have fun if you're smiling. It's a good really a practice to be able to get to smile and realize, wow, what a cool thing that I get to be out here having fun. This is great. So those are some techniques I wanted to give you, and I have some other comments too. But yeah, just wanted to open it up for questions here. If you have time, I know we've got Paul on the line also that's listening, that's in the UK, who is, I don't know, Paul, you may be traveling and on mute, but if you have a question also, you can just press *6 on your phone. Paul is a recent graduate. Congratulations, Paul, with getting your certification as a Performing Edge Coaching Professional. Just finished the program, so that's great. And Paul is also a jet skier, a world champion jet skier, and last year, and is perhaps going to be competing again this year. So really great stuff. He's an athlete as well as a Performing Edge Coaching Professional now. So there's Paul and Evan and Misty, and then we've got other people on the call too. So just want to ask all of you to think about what questions you have and how you could help your athletes sort of fill up their emotional tank and have more fun. Or do you have athletes that are having trouble having fun? You can just press *6 to unmute yourself on the phone. Anyone want to join
this
in?
This is Evan.
Hi, Evan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I always emphasize, you know, the need to have fun. And I've seen many athletes like, oh, yeah, that's right. I kind of forgot to have fun. And it's really helping them. I liked the, you know, even for adults, you were saying, oh, okay, we're kind of, you know, you call that the adultification or something. and I was like, well, we could benefit, you know, us adults to do a youngification or something, like just, you know, behave like kids, right? Even in the corporate world or in the business world. That's the idea that came to me. So just not for kids, but for adults too, to try to go back to that place where you just have more fun. I have a good friend of mine, Paul McMullen. So he did the Olympics in 96, a track and field. So he was the U.S. champion for a couple of years, and he did the Olympics in Atlanta. So he's a friend of mine, and he started a running club here, which is really focused around just fun. Like, really, they're running in the dunes in the winter time. They're running, sledding, playing games, you know, at the end, chasing each other. So they're building their stamina and running skills without even knowing it. So he called that a running style of play. And it's amazing. I mean, that's a great example of how to have kids out there having fun and training without, you know, even noticing it. And then when they get older, it's more for 7 to 12, you know, 13. And then when they get older, of course, you get a bit more serious, but it keeps, you know, the fun part of it. So totally agree with what you said. And yeah. There was another thing that will come back later. I don't remember now what you shared that was insightful for me. So I'm going to
think. Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Can you, Evan, just can you have thoughts how you might incorporate some of this into your coaching with your athletes, helping them to have more fun?
Yeah, so I just asking them, you know, we always forget. We try to figure things out for others, but like asking, you know, how do you have fun usually, you know? Okay, you're not having fun, so remember a time when you had fun. What was what was it like? What is it about? So really asking and then trying to incorporate that. I like the idea, yeah, okay, the unconditional love or support. I like the idea to set up a routine, whether a high five, whether a word, whether something that the guys do no matter what. When they win, when they lose, when they do well, when they do bad, like so that you kind of really build that muscles around here. So that's something that I really appreciated, and I'm going to apply that.
Yeah, good, yeah, especially the high five is something that's physical. Research shows that when you do something physical like a high five or a fist bump or a hug, it really ignites, you know, those positive endorphins in the brain so that we feel good about ourselves. And, and if someone messes up, yeah, or does a mistake, that's when we need a hug the most, right? Or someone to put your hand on your shoulder and say, hey, it's okay, we'll get the next one. You know, good job, you gave it your best. You'd be able to say something like that to the person because, like you say, Evan, we need that routine, the emotional support when it's times are tough. Even as more than, when times are good, bring us up. So, yeah, thanks, Evan. That's great. Yes, setting up that routine. Yeah, how about Misty? Are you there? Give thoughts or questions or what was helpful for you?
All of it's very helpful, very insightful. I don't have any questions yet. Kind of getting going and taking in all the info.
Oh, good. Yeah. So with what athletes are you, let's see, which sports are you working with or which ones do you want to work with?
All of them.
Great.
Whatever I guess the universe brings my way.
Yeah, that's great. You could imagine what the favorite sport if you were to have your ideal client, you know, who that would be or what?
Probably more of the adult, like the baseball and the football players would be fantastic. Soccer players, a lot of soccer players out here, a lot of competitive soccer, a lot of novice league too. So, yeah, I'm up for any of it.
Great, yeah. Yeah, those are all really good, great sports that, where there's, teamwork that needs to happen, and it's just there's so much we can teach people about life, I think, through sports, and so it's kind of like a microcosm of what's happening out in the real world there. So yeah, we need to work on keeping that fun factor in there, no matter how we think. Oh well, when kids are young, that's when we need to foster that. But see, people that are older, when we tend to lose that enjoyment or the sense of having to just be able to have fun. And so it's good to make sure that you build that in somehow. I think of it as building in fun. Sometimes it can be if a team or a group is practicing, going out for breakfast or going out for a pizza or dinner afterward can really help to get together, and that's when everybody's high from their endorphins after the workout and having a good, so it creates good conversation and you can talk over food, a meal on how things went and joke around about how who messed up and how we can make it better. All those kind of things can be really good. You can build in that fun in all sorts of different ways. Having kind of in jokes of, something that everybody knows that's, just within that group, something funny that happened. It's not, you have to be careful that it's not insulting to anyone, just something funny. Maybe one of the other themes they're playing with did something crazy, and you know, you can have those sort of in jokes really that only you know, that kind of language that just the team knows, that it can really make it fun to be able to you know, laugh about. So that's good too. So thanks, Sissy. Yeah, glad that you can do that. So you might, and then you might ask the clients, you know, it kind of do a little survey to ask them what makes it fun for you, and sometimes what makes it not fun, so that you can know that too. So great. And Paul, I know you're in the UK. I don't know if you're still listening or if you're in a traveling, but I just want to give you a chance to chime in if you're there to ask anything. I think he's over in, he may be in a meeting right now, but he's over in England listening in too. And I know there's a few other people there too, so that's great. So,
Dr. Joanne, it's Paul.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Hi, sorry, I muted myself, and I have to ask a question after that big build-up, so thank you. I just wondered if you could expand a little bit on how you might incorporate fun into a visualization, either in part or fully. I mean, I have an idea that probably I would find out, as you said, a little bit about what makes a sport fun for that person and get them to visualize that event or race or competition where they're performing well and having fun at the same time. That's what came to mind to me. Is there anything else that you would do with that visualization?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, how to incorporate... Yeah, you're coming in really clear now, all the way from the UK. That's great. Yeah, it's how to incorporate fun into a visualization with competing. I think one way is to ask the... First, beforehand, you could ask the person, the athlete, tell me about a time that you've had a lot of fun before, so that you get their background. Maybe it was doing something else, you know, being at the beach or on a vacation or going out with friends. And so you have them tell you that time, and then they can incorporate that into it. So first visualize. With the visualization, tell them, you know, kind of go over what they've told you about that time when they did have fun at the, say, at the beach. Maybe they were throwing a frisbee around or, you know, laughing, having fun. And so getting that emotional experience of enjoyment, and then say, now let's carry that into a competition. And imagine that you're there. I know, let's see, Paul, you work with, well, you're doing jet skiing yourself, and then you wanted to work with a, is it soccer players, football player, what we call football here, you call it?
Yeah, that's one of my main target sports. But I may use this for myself this weekend as I'm competing in the European Championships. I may try this on myself, incorporating the fun bit for my competition this weekend.
Oh, yeah, congratulations. Yeah, we'll all be rooting for you with the European Championships. That's great. Being able to, so imagine, you know, if I was working with you, Paul, I'd say, yeah, tell me about a time that you had the most fun. Either it could be outside, you know, something, doing something else, or, you know, at a party, or just fun, or it could be maybe the time that you had the most fun doing your jet skiing in just a practice or in a competition where it just felt fluid and everything felt just great. And it might have been when you just first discovered a new trick and thought, or you know, you've been trying to do this trick for a long time and all of a sudden, hey, I got it. And can you, you know, remember that time and what that felt like and like, wow, this is, you know, all of a sudden I've got mastery over, or I can do this thing. You know, have you felt that, Paul, before, I'm sure?
Yes, definitely. That would really work.
Yeah. So, being able to, imagine that time when you were able to just have so much fun with it, and then see yourself in the upcoming competition, the European Championships, and carrying that feeling into that. You could use that technique, I call it anchoring, where imagine a time when you felt like you did have a lot of fun and create an anchor for that situation of a color, a shape, a word, something to remember that experience by, or it could be a physical gesture, like a fist pump, like, yeah, I got it, I got this thing. And then, so have this anchor, and then right before your competition, you use that anchor, this thing to associate with the experience when you had fun. And it could be a smile, maybe it could be a time when you were up on the podium getting a trophy, or just actually, just completing the trick, the jump that you could do, and then putting your hands up in the air. So yeah, just being able to imagine that, and then when you go into your competition, you use your anchor. Let's say if it's a fist pump, you do your fist pump right before you do your competition, and it can really bring all those feelings of confidence, power, and inner strength right there, right before you do your jumps and do your tricks. So it's good to remember that time when you did have fun, and then bring that in, anchor it with a color, shape, a word, or gesture, and then bring it into that visualization, bring it into that actual competition right there. So,
that's great. Thank
you. Hope that helps. Yeah, great. And Paul, what was, just wanted to, as we finish up here, so let's see, next time we'll do our next call on the second and fourth Thursday. So next one will be June the 27th. Kind of mark your calendars. And then what was, I'd like to do at the end of the call, what was the most important, or something, a nugget or a takeaway, something that you can use from our session today, from our call? Paul, while you're there, can you think of something that would be most useful?
Yeah. Well, I quite liked Evan's statement, actually, about becoming, the opposite of adultification is becoming young, pretending we're kids. I quite like that that idea, and also definitely incorporating the fun into the visualizations, because all the athletes I've seen, and myself included, I think, it's long since become fun. That was a long time ago since it's become fun, because it becomes all very serious when you're competing at a top level. So just any way to incorporate that fun, whether via visualization or something else, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's great. Paul, thanks. And thank you, Evan, for that. Being able to become young again, and that's another thing you could do is just imagine a time when you were a kid that you had the most fun, maybe at the beach or playing with your parents or playing with other kids, playing with kids down the block, that kind of thing. So being able to do, maybe it was doing a sport or something else, and so thinking of that and then carrying that fun factor. The fact that, when we're kids, we just sort of think up stuff and, make up games and make up things as we go along is so creative and imaginative. We want to carry that with us into adulthood here, into our competitions to keep the fun factor there. So, yeah, thanks, Paul. That's great. And Evan or Misty, are you still, if you're still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Evan, hi.
Yeah, Yeah, so for me, it's just what I shared. I'm glad that resonated in other people, but like trying to be younger in our mindset, plus asking for feedback, like asking what does that mean for these athletes, you know, to have fun, and unconditional love and support, like setting something within a team specifically that can be done no matter what the result is, you know. That's great.
Right, yeah, okay, good. So, yeah, thinking about younger mindsets, and that would be good to ask your athletes, your clients about that, what that mindset is like. And then being able to, yeah, have the unconditional support and, no matter what, a ritual of some sort, and or if it's an individual sport, or if you're just by yourself, being able to give yourself unconditional support, you know, and those affirmations, positive, empower word statements, they're really good to be able to say, you know, and you could have one about fun, being able to say, I'm out here to have fun. I enjoy, and write down yourself what makes my sport fun. You know, what's fun about, you know, why? And one good way to think of it too is what got me started? Why did I choose to start this my sport in the first place? Everybody chose it probably because it was fun and enjoyable. But then get it, go deeper and say, what did I do? What was really fun about it? Just moving, like with me, was running. It was just the fact that I could go out the door and not have to go to a gym or any specific place. It's a sense of freedom, and being able to with running, I can go on trails and go explore new places, get out into nature and hear birds singing. I can when you're on trails, I can see wildlife and see deer all over, and wild turkeys and squirrel and all kinds of things, birds, hear birds singing, and so that makes the sport fun because it's also out in nature. Evan, with you with swimming, and you know, it can be fun because you get to be in the water when it's really hot. You can cool off in the water and have fun, and with Paul, you know, you're out there in the water too with jet skiing. You know, it's just there's a lot of technical stuff to it, but it can also be really, really fun. So great, yeah. Thanks, Evan. And if Misty, are you still there? I heard a beep, so I'm not sure if she maybe had to get to a client. Misty, are you still there? Yeah, I think she might have had to go to another appointment, so that's good. So, and then other people are on mute here, I think. So, yeah, just want to thank you, everyone, thank you guys. It's such an honor and such a joy and fun to talk with you guys about, to everyone about this topic, a really important topic that we overlook. So being able to make it, and then another question you could ask yourself is, how can I, how can I make my practice, my workout more fun today? And just by putting that question out there, for your clients, how can I make this workout, this session fun for them? So being able to ask that will bring about an answer of some sort. And usually I like to, with a session with a client, I like to, at some point during the session, there's usually some point where I can bring in some kind of humor, a funny story, or something that happened, or something that they said that is humorous, and just be able to exercise that humor muscle to make it, when you laugh, then you're everybody's having fun. And it just is so much more enjoyable. So be able to remember that too. So great. Well, thank you, everyone. Thanks for a great call, a great conversation with you. And so we'll talk more next time. And if you have topics that you'd like me to include or questions, yeah, I often love to just have those questions as use that for the topic for our next time. So I'm open to whatever you want to present here. So great. So June 27th, mark your calendar for that time. I'll have the recording up shortly for this call and our notes. And have a great week and good luck. Wish you all the best, Paul, in your competition for the chess game, European competition. Yeah, that's great. What is it? Something that's on will be on online, a video on online that we could watch.
Not on the day, but the video available afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. What would we search on European championship
European
jet skiing?
European freestyle.
Freestyle jet skiing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Okay. Well, hopefully you can, inject lots of fun into your freestyle skiing and just going for it. Yeah, think of something funny, the fun factor and funny, something that can make you laugh and enjoy it as well. So I think just a quick story. I remember Misty Hyman, who I worked with for the past Olympics, she was a 200-meter butterfly. Everyone was so nervous going out there in the competition, and she went out there, and she had this huge smile on her face, just thinking, oh, man, this is good. She had been through so much. She sprained her ankle and then got really sick, and then all kinds of things happened right beforehand, and so she just got out there and said, I'm just going to have fun and swim. And she was the only one smiling as she went out to the deck while everyone else was looking so nervous. And so guess who won the Olympic gold medal? You know, she was able to just perform well because she smiled and just relaxed and said, wow, how cool is it that I get to be here competing? So, yeah, it's great that we can all do that and help our clients do that. And Paul, you can do that this weekend, too. So it sounds good. Thanks. And we'll all talk soon on the 27th. So thank you. Have a great day. And
thank you.
We'll be in touch. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye now. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.